It's one of those 7 days each year that we bring an offering before God. It is an opportunity that God gives us to serve him. It can also be considered a sacrifice, since in giving something to God, we are sacrificing something that we could ourselves use, something that is important to us. In our day, of course, it is money. In the ancient times, it was animals or other physical objects. Now, I thought it would be good to see some examples of the attitudes of some people giving offerings in the past. Because as God says, these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. For a start, I thought I'd go back to the first recorded sacrifice in the Bible. Now, where do you think that might be? Do you think it was Abel? But actually, it was a long time before Abel. We read about it in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. That's Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. We read, "All who dwell on the earth shall worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." To us, that is an inconceivably long time. We may say that this sacrifice was not made for about 4,000 years after the sacrifice of Abel. That's our logic, but to God, when he promises something will happen, it is as if it has already happened in his mind. We can read about that in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. That's Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, but beginning at the end of verse 9, where God says, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So what was God's attitude regarding this sacrifice? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53:10 tells us what God thought. He says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise," or crush as an alternative reading, "him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin." Yes, God the Father was pleased, not that his son would suffer, neither he nor his son was looking forward to suffering, but that his suffering and death would be a perfect offering for all of our sins, so that we could be forgiven and become a part of God's family forever. As we will read later, both God and Jesus Christ had a willing heart. They both sacrificed willingly. And of course we know the Lamb of God was without spot or blemish, as all the animals offered were to be without spot and blemish, and as our attitude is also to be. The next example I'd like to look at is when God was describing how the tabernacle was to be built. This, of course, is described in Exodus chapters 25 to 35. It's a bit long to read here, but suffice to say, the first thing that God said when specifying the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25 verses 1 and 2 was that the people were to bring an offering and the attitude they should have when giving this offering. God said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart, you shall take my offering." Now, this was before any of the specifications were given. God did not want offerings that were not willingly given. Now, the next seven chapters describe the specifications of the tabernacle God wanted built. Then came the incident of the golden calf, interrupting this section. But in Exodus 35, verses 21 to 22, Exodus 35, verses 21 to 22, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for its service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings, necklaces, all jewellery of gold, That is, every man made an offering of gold. And in fact, in the next chapter, they actually had to tell the people to refrain from giving because they brought too much for the building of the tabernacle. They were so willing. One interesting thing to notice here is that both men and women gave offerings. In the usual passage we read in Deuteronomy on the holy days, it states that every man shall give as he is able. Whereas in this passage in Exodus, both men and women gave and both served in parts of the construction of the tabernacle. So that God does not exclude women who have a willing heart from supporting and actually doing a part of his work. Later in verse 25 of the same chapter, verse 25, we read, "All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, all things needed for the building of the tabernacle, for the clothing, for the tent." Another example of giving offerings with a right attitude was when King David was assembling materials for King Solomon to build the temple of God. This is described in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6. "Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly." Then what they offered is described, continuing in verse 9, "Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly." As a matter of interest, what does the Hebrew word translated willingly mean? According to Strong's Concordance, the root comes from to volunteer as a soldier, to volunteer there. Hence the meaning to present spontaneously, offer freely, be willing. All showing not to be compelled or pushed or pressured to give. God was not pressured or pushed or compelled to offer his son for us, but he did it by his own choice, willingly. The other word used was that the people had a loyal heart. Loyal meaning whole, quiet, perfect, peaceable, made ready. In other words, with no ulterior motives, with no striving, certainly not with any vanity or competition. Now, of course, there are further examples of people giving willingly in the time of Josiah, and in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. As the Apostle Paul wrote, all the examples in the Old Testament of what happened to the ancient Israelites were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, all of those examples he mentioned were rather negative, but we can also learn from the positive examples with which God was pleased. Now, what does God instruct in the New Testament? Of course, a good place to look is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." In other words, what he has determined beforehand to give. It continues, "not grudgingly." In other words, not to say I don't want to, but I feel I have to. Or not of necessity. In other words, not to give what you can't afford. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, the Greek word for cheerful is hilaros. Hilaros meaning merry, prompt or willing. Cheerful. It describes spontaneously non-reluctant giving and is only used in this passage and nowhere else in the New Testament. In fact, it is where we get the English word hilarious from. So what can we learn from this? Starting from the top down, God and Jesus Christ were willing givers. They gave when it hurt, both mentally, and in the case of Jesus Christ, physically. And they gave for us, for our benefit. The ancient Israelites, in a number of cases, gave willingly. So following their example, when we take up the offering now, be a cheerful giver, knowing our offerings can enable God's work to go ahead more effectively.